Got it.
You're on.
Okay. We're going to call the meeting to order at, that clock says 6:05.
Okay.
6:03.
6:03? Okay, we'll do.
Okay.
When is it?
All right, we'll start off with the minutes.
Pledge allegiance?
Oh, we have to do the pledge allegiance, that's right. Ready?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Nettie. All right, now we'll go with the approval of the April 3rd minutes. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes?
I'll move them as written.
Yeah,
second. Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Okay. On to Resolution 196, amending the 2019 Ulster County budget for the CHIPS and PAVE New York funding adjustment, Department of Public Works. Have a motion to move?
I just got a question. Now, this is because of the decrease in the state budget.
It's twofold. It's part of the decrease and the rollover from last year.
So we are going to be operating less of state funding the county and most of the municipalities in Ulster County, is that correct?
We also lost EWR, Emergency Winter Recovery.
Right, I've seen that.
Total of about 5,000.
So he didn't put any back in? I know they went up there, they tried to get him to do it, he didn't put nothing in.
It was a decrease on both PAVE New York and CHIPS of about 0.02%.
Okay. So how will that affect our plans, say, for this summer? Are we going to see a major... Not a major, but there's going to be jobs that we're planned to do this summer that won't be done, do you feel, because of its cuts?
We're going to go as far as the money holds
goes.
Up.
Okay.
That's what we did last year.
That's what you,
and
okay.
We ended up not getting everything that we had hoped to get done.
Yeah.
Because, in part, because of the escalation costs on materials.
Yeah.
The
I understand.
The Eagle Nest on Creek Clox Road,
yep.
We delay that from... I believe early May to early August, and
mm-hmm.
it cost us about $70,000.
Wow.
But that's because of escalation of materials.
Right.
And that we take as it comes. So we always have goals of what we're going to accomplish.
Right, I know. Yeah.
Right.
I'm happy to move this.
I'll second it.
Do you have any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? So moved. Resolution 19... Sorry.
I just wonder if with Amanda Laval joining us...
Yes.
There's probably one resolution that she's here for.
Two for Central Hudson?
Yeah. Yes, of course, two for Central Hudson.
Do you mind if we take these out of order?
I don't mind.
No? Okay.
Do you mind, Jamie?
No, not at all.
Jamie's helping for her, too.
Yeah, so maybe we do Amanda's and then Jamie's. Make sure
Tom and Don are here. And Don.
Whoops, I went back too far. Where were we?
What is
There's
it?
There's one. Is 205 is one. It must be 204.
203 and 205.
Okay, so 60. Okay.
So we'll take these resolutions 203 out of order, amending the capital project number 519, Ulster County Law Enforcement Center, energy upgrades, amending the 2019 capital fund budget.
I'll move it.
Move second.
I'll second it.
All right, we'll open it up for discussion.
Starting here?
Yeah, we'll start with you.
Does this make sense?
Does this make sense? So I'm here just to give a little bit of the context of this project, because the resolution, you know, pretty simply states that it's a gas line extension, but this project is in a much larger context of an energy master plan for the law enforcement center. And as you're probably well aware, the law enforcement center, in and of its own
is responsible probably for about 40% of the energy footprint of the county operations, which is very significant. It's our single largest building. It's 277,000 square feet. That's more than 6 acres of building. Right now, the purpose of the Energy Master Plan is to work kind of hand in glove with an immediate need for Department of Public Works to replace the boilers, which have failed in this building, mm-hmm. which currently are kind of beyond insurance as far as their repair goes.
Didn't we authorize that already? Didn't that resolution
yes.
get moved? And so would we have to go back and review the cost difference between propane and oil?
So there's a separate capital that's currently funded for the boiler project. This is to amend the energy improvement capital, which was initially funded through the $250,000 through the NYSERDA Clean Energy Communities, which has been used for energy efficiency upgrades at the jail. It's to amend that to allow for enter into a contract with Central Hudson to pay for the gas line extension. So there's a couple of, I think, really key details to understanding some of the context about this. One is that the boilers are failing. Need constant repair and are
third end of life and beyond
end
warranty,
of life.
And we're nursing them along.
Right, and it's a serious point of concern for
right.
operation of the facility right now.
The building's about 20 years old.
Not that old.
15?
Less than that.
Huh.
So they have been in service since about 2006,
mm-hmm.
if I'm right.
Wow. Right.
So they are not very old. I'll go back to that. So that's number one, is that the boilers need to be replaced.
There are three of them.
Number two is that we're doing this in conjunction with an energy master plan. The contractor, part of their scope of work is also to do almost a forensic analysis of the maintenance and kind of other details that might contribute to the fact that those have failed in such a short time, half
yeah.
of really the useful expected life of the boilers, which is a major concern. It's surprising enough that in 2010, when we did the investment grade energy audits for all the county buildings, we actually didn't do a deep dive into the mechanicals, like the boilers at the jail, because we thought there was such a long useful life of them. So this has been unexpected.
Mm-hmm.
The purpose of the master plan is to work in conjunction with this immediate need to replace the boilers with the overarching concerns regarding redundancy of systems at the jail, because this is not a typical operation in that if boilers fail, it's a very serious concern because you have to heat that facility or you have to move prisoners, which is not
an incarcerated population.
Yeah, the sensitivities are very high to having redundancy in those systems. So they're failing. We need to have redundant systems, but we absolutely know to meet our emissions reduction goals and our energy cost saving goals, we have to address the jail. So the master plan is looking at how can we take the three boilers that are currently there. The engineers are doing cost benefit analysis to look at, is there a renewable option that we can use in tandem with a fossil fuel based boiler there? What are the ways to reduce maybe the domestic hot water load for that building, because there's a boiler right now that's firing just to do domestic hot water, and that's takes a boiler from being on a good day 83% efficiency and kind of even bringing it down from there. So they're evaluating things like condensing natural gas boilers, which are mid-90s, I would say, when it comes to efficiency. It would be both a cost savings and a at point of consumption emissions reduction for that facility. The original proposal by Central Hudson to extend the gas line would have been at no charge to the county, no out-of-pocket cost. And that would have, you probably wouldn't have seen a contract regarding that. but it would have locked the county into a both a volume and a rate for 10 years for usage.
Okay.
So the in this back and forth about this energy master plan and how are we going to preserve the ability to, you know, take some of this load, reduce it, and then also use renewables to meet the load, we decided that we'd rather pay up front if given the option so that we can really preserve and work towards reducing the energy demand there. So instead of I think a couple of the key points. What else?
So our ability to get renewable alternatives there, I would say, is at best a 3 to 5 year plan for that facility. Although I would put into the mix solar thermal for the hot water. And so what is the expected payback on the investment of the 250 plus the 250
right.
roughly?
The payback on a replacing an existing fuel oil boiler with a condensing natural gas boiler and adding on the $220,000 interconnection cost is 4.00 years using the initial numbers that we've gotten back from the engineer.
And theoretically, at least at the burner, you would have fewer emissions
yes.
within the confines of
it
the
would
jail facility.
Just swapping out fuel oil at that point of burning the fuel, fuel oil with natural gas, we would be reducing the emissions for the same BTUs basically produced about 38% to 40%.
And that would be realized immediately without the need to replace the boilers. Because the existing boiler
This was the existing boiler with the condensing
okay.
Natural gas
okay.
unit. So a higher efficiency unit.
Right.
Legislator Green?
Yes. I guess, you know, the question comes to mind, you know, how does this differ from the proposal in Town of Ulster with GladPath? And it does, because here we would not be generating and running a generator with this. Instead, we're fueling
and it's an existing demand and
an existing
load.
Demand. Yeah. So I just wanted to think through if there
yeah.
were any other considerations that
yeah.
came up there. I think this is a fairly unique situation for Ulster County in terms of this facility being the toughest and
yes.
at the top of the list
yes.
for needing something immediately.
Right.
Right.
And so it's got us in crunch.
Right. And we are
yeah.
simultaneously pursuing through, it's a program called New York Prize. It's for larger buildings to assess them through with the New York Power Authority for geothermal systems.
Mm-hmm.
We have made it now through two levels of New York Prize as far as these high-level conceptual kind of feasibility studies for ground source heating systems. For a building like the jail, we're definitely in the ballpark of $5 million. If you're thinking about replacing what the boilers do in the boiler room there with a ground source system. It's hard to entertain that at an order of magnitude cost, you know, going from $400,000 to $5 million without some, you know, incredible, you know, incentive funding
mm-hmm.
dropping from the sky, which at that point I've never seen anything like that, you know, as far as funding.
You could think about doing it if the payback on that
right.
were comparable, but I would imagine it's not.
No, it's not. It would
be much longer
yeah,
payback period.
Yeah, it's much longer.
And could we get it up and running by next winter?
One of the scenarios that the engineer, through the master plan, is evaluating right now is using, so there's three boilers right now that all run heating oil, is the cost benefit and kind of the possibility of doing a biomass source for one of those boilers. You size biomass boilers, I think, a little differently, so that they're only, they're sized to only take 60% of the maximum building load. So by that, you have to have a backup to that in order to heat the entire building for the days in which it's calling for more heat to heat it. And then you would have to have a backup unit to that for redundancy, in order, if one of the boilers went down, in order to fully heat the building. So you need three units. There's some concern regarding, like, totally being able to assure that we would be able to receive pellets here, get deliveries of pellets to actually to make this.
I was hoping you were talking about food waste or something.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah.
I thought about that. I wonder. I think the food waste would be really like a, you know, a spark in the pan for the needs there. So, you know, you have a need. Even if best case scenario, we could really look at taking one of those units and doing a biomass or a pellet boiler. You need two backups to that. And at that point, and if you're worried about getting pellets or, you know, repairing this kind of slightly more specialized boiler, you're talking about having natural gas or fuel oil for the backup. So it's kind of where we, kind of the bigger picture kind of encircling this.
So I just want to say, I recently went through, on a small scale, a similar issue, and I ended up with a condensing boiler, and we're very, very happy. In this case, the condensing boiler heats a radiant floor, and it's extremely efficient. Condensing boilers are amongst the most efficient heating systems now, but it's powered by propane, and I'm concerned about that we're paying to run a gas line that Central Hudson will have other customers for, or may.
No. Not this one.
It's just the lateral.
This is just the lateral. There's already service in there.
So the gas is already,
when,
how far out does it go?
It's in 30.
The chateau, roughly, yeah. Right on 32.
When the jail was constructed, there was a gas line in 32, but it wasn't didn't have the capacity to supply the jail. So there was never a connection made. The boilers that were installed at that time were dual fuel. They were heating oil with natural gas, with the thought, well, maybe if they ever, you know, if it changes and they can serve a larger customer like that building, there would be that opportunity. But this is just the lateral to the existing infrastructure in the road.
And what's the cost to us? Is that the
cost? Yes, the cost to us is $220,000. But I think you might have missed that part that I was just discussing at the beginning, which is that originally the proposal from Central Hudson would have been at no cost to the county, but we would have had to basically assure them of our usage at kind of full bore, full tilt, for 10 years.
Like put or pay.
The loss leader.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
When we, you know, because this has been hand in glove with this energy master plan, we said show us the numbers for us paying and not having being locked into usage, so that we really can move forward with reducing the fossil fuel usage at that facility.
I would just like to add that the contract that we've got, the contract amount that we've got right now, is, we feel, favorable for Ulster County, because Central Hudson has their contractors in the city of Kingston now doing work in the streets.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Driving us crazy on Pearly Avenue, for instance. So while they're here and mobilized, they would like to get this done as well, and we think it would be cost beneficial to the county to do this now.
And I would just say, for the record, methane burns cleaner at the source than propane.
Yeah.
It's propane is 3 carbons and methane is 1. So if you're going to burn a component of natural gas, methane is the one to burn. It actually burns cleaner than gasoline, which is ethylene, which is 2 carbons.
Methyl ethyl propyl butyl pentyl.
Butane is 4.
Yeah. Methyl ethyl propyl butyl pentyl.
And the refrigerants?
Actually, that is, just to note that the condensing boilers and the air source heat pumps and geothermal all use refrigerants, but you guys are well informed on refrigerants.
We are.
I just have a very hard time voting in favor of any new fossil fuel infrastructure, because once it's there, it's, it sort of opens the gate for it to be used for other purposes. It's reassuring to know that it's already there, but then why is it costing us $220,000 that could be going to, ultimately a geothermal system powered by solar?
So I would just say that in this case, the $220,000 for the hookup is the insurance cost that says that we can get off this. If we can, over the next 5-year period, any point in it, get off this, we're not in a contract because we paid that $220,000.
Right.
It's kind of like we own it and we can either use it or not. Whereas if we let them do it for us and spared that $220,000, then we're in the long-term contracts and we better have they will have a set a certain volume of usage and we'd be tied in. And so, it's a lot of money to pay, but for me, it's kind of the escape hatch that says we don't believe in this really, and we're doing it under protest. I would fully understand if had to think long and hard. Am I a protest vote on this? But I am not, especially not in this committee, because I think that the overall plan. This now keeps us not locked into fossil fuels, but is just an emergency gap filler. I don't want to use the term bridge.
I didn't mean it so much in terms of contract as if the line is already there, why is it costing that much? That was my underlying question.
It's not on that road.
It's
up to the chateau, but it's still a very long distance to the jail.
And it's
so
on
it'll be on county property. Yeah. So it's technically a lateral, but very, very long.
The plant for the jail is all the way in the back, so you're coming down over the. So.
It's a tough one. Are we ready to call the vote?
I'll move it.
Second?
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
It's
better than the fossil fuels.
I guess I have another chance tomorrow night. Such a tough one. I have to vote no. It is a protest vote. It's just, I really feel like we have to draw the line,
and your alternative is
go right for the geothermal and find a way to finance
dollars,
with solar. Now, because of the IPCC report, we've been reasonable for a long time, and we've got ourselves into a very serious global crisis because of our reasonability. So, I think we're at a point where IPCC calls it drastic, radical action. I think we have to be unreasonable for these future generations.
The numbers are, this is using the greenhouse gas emissions accounting software that we use. Currently at fuel oil, we're about 1,100 metric tons of CO2 E is the baseline for that facility. If we went to natural gas with a high efficiency, a 94% efficiency boiler, that would be reduced to about 695 metric tons of CO2 a year. $695, which is a 38% reduction from the fuel oil. Biomass covering 60% of the load would be a reduction to about 277 metric tons of CO2e. That's a 75% reduction. And 100% geothermal would be a reduction to approximately 237 metric tons of CO2e a year. So that's only 79. So that it's a couple million dollars to get you from 75 to 79. But the biomass requires that natural gas complement to it in order to reach the building demand.
I have just two last comments, and I don't want to dwell on this, but the numbers that are used for natural gas are at the point of combustion and not including the fugitive emissions.
Right, the upstream.
And the impacts on other communities. The geothermal can be, and it's going to be costly, but it's going to save us money over time. The geothermal can be powered by solar, and that facility is asking for it. Remember Pete Warren?
What's the roof?
Wanted it solar on this building, and now that I think this is a protest vote. I think, and I do it with the greatest honor of the work that's gone into this. It's just feeling like I have to draw a line, and enough said. And I want to be sure I'm putting no on the right one.
Well, there's two of them.
And it's really the Central Hudson one that I'm concerned about, but that is also incorporated.
That's the next one.
Yeah.
Resolution 205, approving the execution of a contract in excess of $50,000 entered into by the county with Central Hudson through the Department of Public Works. Is there a motion?
I'll move it.
Second. Discussion?
I think we've already had it.
Okay. All right. So I'll call the vote then. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
No.
Okay. Thank you. So should we move out of order again to get the
campus?
Sure.
Yeah.
I'm on opposed.
Start in 210.
This one was 205. The campus is 215.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
No problem.
I'm sorry. There's 210?
Yeah, we start at 210.
210.
That's because you have a couple kids.
It is true. Very loud. Oh. So 210.
Okay. Yeah. Resolution 210, amending capital budget number 466, SUNY Ulster gym wall repair, amending the 2019-24 capital project fund. SUNY and Ulster, blah, 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 and
how
approving
much do
the,
you want to read?
Yeah, how much do I need to read? Motion?
Yes, I move it.
Second?
I'll second it.
Open it up for discussion.
So this is now going to the construction phase for the gym wall. So we did design. We are working with the Dormitory Authority for the design components and for the construction components. They were on site today actually doing some hazardous material testing. Hopefully that comes back and we're clean and we have no concerns there. But this is to advance the project for construction at this point. And again, it's the repair of the gym wall that's been falling onto the children's playground. There's the brick facade and the water has been getting behind the brick facade, compromising the wall.
And all of these are 50% state and 50% Ulster County?
Yes.
So the original resolution in March.
Yep, that was the resolution for the design component.
Okay.
And now, so the way we're structuring these, and you're seeing a lot more resolutions coming through from the college.
Yeah, they all seem like the same ones, but yeah.
Right, it's the same. Yeah, it's the same projects. Yeah. We were just talking about this in the hall. It's the same project. So these are ones that are very old. These were established years ago and kind of lingered, so nothing was done with them.
Mm-hmm.
We then went back to DASNY to say, can we get this design component done? So every time we come to DASNY, the way we've structured it when I was at the county, we structured each work order to be a contract. So we come back to the county with each work order that's going through with DASNY. That's why you're seeing so many, so it seems like constant same projects, but every time we do a work order, amend a work order, we're viewing that as an intermunicipal contract, absolutely.
Okay.
And that should come back.
And right now we're focused on 210. I have a question on 216, but we'll get there.
Sure.
Are there any other questions? I'll call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, so moved. Resolution 212, amended capital project number 468, SUNY Ulster Vandalin Pedestrian Bridge and amending the 2019-24 capital project fund.
So,
I'll move it.
Second?
I'll second it. Okay.
So this one is not a DASNY project. We have Benir and Larios doing the design. An architecture firm for that one. We're actually opening bids tomorrow on this one. Based on what we're hearing from both the market trends, what's happening in terms of bids, Benir and Larios thinks we're going to come in a little bit higher than these originally came in at. So this estimate was done many moons ago. This project's been kicked around since, I think, 2006.
I only have one question now, because I went to Ulster for a little while. That's that little walking bridge.
Yeah.
And
so it's been failing for years. So their brick and mortar are falling off from underneath.
Now, was that something that was it ever looked at maybe to do in-house?
It was looked at to do in-house. We just don't have the manpower at this point. They kept patching it in-house.
In-house, okay.
And they kept trying to fix it in-house. And
so this is going to be practically brand new.
This is going to be brand new. This is going to be a complete demo and a complete rehab of the bridge.
I know we've got the people skillful enough.
Yes.
To do that.
Yes.
That bridge, you know, but
it's at the point where it needs to actually be completely taken back all the way back to the steps entrance, and then it actually needs to have a higher pitch for ADA compliance. Right now, we have a little lip that goes up to connect to the door frame. The door frame's actually higher, so it's created a lift.
Okay.
And there's also concerns now. We have leaking coming into the bottom floor. We believe it's coming from the bridge, that there's some type of structural concern coming in from the inside down and into the buildings. So it's been needed for a long time to get this one out.
So from what you said, we might need an amendment in the financial impact here, because in the text of the resolution it says what you said, said 50,000 from SUNY and 50,000 from county, but in the reimbursement it says reimbursable from
the dormitory
authority,
which is the dormitory authority is the state. So the way this works with the dormitory authority, they are the bonding entity for the state on behalf of the capitals.
So it's correct,
so
as written,
it's DASNY bond authorization.
I see.
So it's a
Thank
little
you.
strange, and I actually, when I did resolutions, put all that language in the resolution, and the state made me go back and amend all those capital projects. So that's technically where it comes from, but that's how it works.
Just to follow up on that, you said that it's 50,000 and 50,000. I'm seeing a couple different numbers. I see 175.
That
was the engineers?
That was the original total cost for the project.
Okay.
That was what was outlined in the capital improvement program. Then this year there was an amendment in the capital improvement program that was adopted to increase the funding with the anticipation that it was going to come in higher.
Mm-hmm.
So we now have to come back through resolution to establish that higher amount.
Okay. All right.
I'll move it.
Second.
All in favor? We already did that.
Okay.
Did
it was a vote.
You can do the first one or the second
one.
Yeah,
that's
okay.
And Dean, if I could add your question about in-house, we are assisting
the
demolition.
Oh, good. Okay.
We're going to do the demo.
Forgot that. Big point. We were just talking about that, too.
That's the fun part,
you have a place where you need clean fill, and you can take care of all of that.
I should have been on some kind of construction.
And they did, at some point, they put in, they put electrical through it so that if there was a need, they could turn it on so to keep the ice off of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that just completely compromised a lot of that structure by doing that.
All right.
Okay, resolution 214.
Cover it more easily.
Right, that's
than
what
that,
I
right?
thought that.
Amending capital project number 491, SUNY Ulster Facilities Master Plan, and amending the 2019-24 capital budget project fund. I hear a motion to move.
I'll move it.
Second?
I'll second it.
So this one, the facilities master plan, we had established this recently. DASNY went to went out to bid with RFPs for this one. Based on what we heard back from the RFPs, we didn't have enough funding originally in the capital plan. Again, this is another one that was established a long time ago based on cost estimates drawn at that point. This is now increasing it to a total of the $285,000. We do have the state appropriation authority to increase it to that level at this point. I've confirmed that with the state, and that will allow us to go based on the RFP responses we received.
But
for the project.
Do we have it in the budget, considering that we're behind on CHIP funds and some other funds? I mean, is it...
Well, it's going to be bonded.
It's not going
to... Yeah. It might require a change in the budget, though.
Do you want me to
address
that?
Yes.
So the way this works in the capital budget, this is amending the capital improvement program to increase the amount in the capital program for the budget. So this is increasing your capital budget, not coming out of the general fund budget, which is where the CHIPS funding
just
is allocated. Correct.
Okay.
And then you get 50% back from the state. That's where I spoke to the state authority. On the state authority side, we have that. I didn't need to go back to the state for an amendment in the state budget for this one. And then in the capital, this is amending the capital improvement program to increase it.
But I mean, the capital funds have to come from somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Which is
so. Is it going to compromise another?
No.
So we bond.
If Don says it's okay.
Yeah, is it okay?
Yes.
But you know, that fire training center is going to be a little more expensive than I thought it was, too.
We'll know in a couple of weeks.
Right? Yeah. Okay. All right. Any other discussion? We'll take the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Resolution 216, establishing capital project number 542. SUNY Ulster HVAC upgrades campus-wide and amending the 2019-24 capital project fund. Motion?
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Open for discussion?
Yeah. Can you fill me in a little bit more on the detail of what HVAC systems and so forth, what's in place and what...
Right. So right now, we have... Our HVA systems campus-wide are in really bad shape. So we're looking, right now, this is addressing two buildings. This is addressing Vanderlyn, and this is addressing Burroughs. They have been without AC, and the heat pumps over there, everything over there is failing. So right now, what we're looking to do is just replacing those units to bring them up to speed. So we have, these are office spaces. This is our college lounge house there. Our students with disability services are all housed in these buildings. They're heavily used during the summer months, and they get very, very hot in there. We are looking, and we're going to work with Amanda's team in doing a whole energy audit for the whole campus. That's going to look at different alternatives, what we can do. Right now, our meters aren't, we don't have sub-metering of all our building that's monitored in the same way that the county does. So we have big concerns in terms of energy usage, whereas Amanda's tracking, and you can track your buildings by your usage components. We don't have that right now on site. So we're looking to do a whole energy audit, which we'll come back with kind of when we get to that phase. But right now, these are to replace the two units, and you'll see we have a larger capital built into the capital improvement program for this type of work. And that's what we'll be looking to do to address our whole systems. These are just two units that have failed and that we are not...
And did you say they were heat pumps?
I believe they're heat pumps in Burroughs. I can check that. I'll get back to you on that one. I know it's AC units that are the main components.
But my understanding of a heat pump is it's both for heating
and cooling.
Okay.
So when we did Burroughs 120, which was the lecture hall unit,
yep.
I believe they did the dual in that.
Okay.
But the rest of the building doesn't have anything right now. So it was a split in terms of how that project was handled.
And even though you haven't done the energy audit, would you be potentially putting heat pumps back in with this replacement?
This one really we're trying to get the ACs in. So that's the big component here, the AC units, getting those up to speed. They're all rooftop units. They're those old rooftop units that have just been failed for many years. So that's the focus right now. And then do the larger scoped audit to see what we can do and what we need to do.
Does Central Hudson do anything with a rebate for a facility like this? I know they certainly do for if it's an AC and you're upgrading.
Mm-hmm.
They certainly do for residential, and I've they'll be coming to speak at that event in Saugerties.
Yes.
Okay.
But I don't know the answer to that.
We're actively engaged in trying to secure some NYSERDA grants.
Okay.
So NYSERDA opportunities are great when we can access them because they count as the county share. So we're trying to incorporate those NYSERDA grants into what we're going to do for that larger scoped review.
But even for this, if it's AC and you can put in a heat pump, NYSERDA is pushing, you know, smart heat
mm-hmm.
so much
mm-hmm.
that, you know, it seems
worth
like
an inquiry.
Yeah, we can
we
certainly
ought
inquiry with them.
Look
absolutely.
If it's going to be replaced with a heat pump, if it's going to be replaced with another air conditioning unit,
mm-hmm.
I don't know whether they will or not, if it's more efficient, but...
we can certainly investigate it. Absolutely.
Yeah. So this is amending the capital budget, but the exact model technology is still to
it's
be...
Right, still be determined.
Okay. Then I'm okay with that. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and we'll look into that.
Great.
It's a great suggestion, yeah. Yeah, we are trying to really look at all of our energy usage campus-wide and see what can be done because
yeah.
it's a huge space that, yeah, we need to get it up to par.
And every time you do a, you know, you take an action that qualifies as a climate solution,
mm-hmm.
the college can be part of the green business
right.
challenge. So,
right.
But in particular, I definitely would check with
yeah,
Central
absolutely.
Hudson and push for something that has, you know, dual purpose and is
definitely.
As energy efficient as possible.
How big is your campus? Do you have a square footage on that?
I can get you that.
Yeah.
It's big.
So
but I can
trying
get that,
to
yeah.
figure it in comparison to what we're doing over at the jail. And she said that was, what, six
that's
acres?
That's about 6 acres.
That's the
we're
building.
Not,
yeah.
In
terms
the
of our buildings, I don't
comes
think we're
to
near that.
6 acres.
We might be, actually.
24/7 in terms of
yeah, you're 24/7 operations.
Oh, that's true, too.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other discussion? If not, I'll call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So moved. You have another one. Resolution 218, establishing capital project number 545, SUNY Ulster, general furniture replacement, and amending the 2019-24 capital project fund. Motion to move?
I'll move it.
Second?
Second.
Open it up for discussion.
So this is, you saw a resolution where we're doing classroom renovations, and that was about 2 or 3 months ago now.
Right.
So this is working with DASNY for the furniture for those classroom spaces. So we're transitioning from those single-use seat desks that really only fit high schoolers and probably don't even fit them at this point, into longer tables that are more collaborative, where students can interact more with one another, interact with their teachers. We're also doing, we're seeing a larger push, I'll say, for developmental work. So we're really trying to rethink how we think of space and making sure that for the developmental students, we can have smaller group settings for them. So going from those single-use desks to tabletop units are really working to make sure that we're addressing their needs and that the students and the teachers can sit next to each other as they work on projects and do more collaborative work together. So this is going with DASNY for the furniture for the classrooms. Right now we're targeting 8 classrooms in Hardenburg. So it's going to be a big lift this summer to get all of the construction components and all this lined up together, but it really will improve the student outcomes within those learning spaces. Right now they all look like old high school classrooms,
mm-hmm.
and the students
yeah,
have trouble.
We've used them.
Yeah.
I'll move it.
Yeah. I'll call. I just had one
good
other question. Yeah.
Sure.
I mean, since we're looking at establishing a 5-year capital plan,
mm-hmm.
and now we're making increases kind of after the fact. I mean, is there anything
these were
else
included in the 5-year capital?
Even though we're looking at 600, what was it, 600,000, 300 each?
These are
in
this
additional
one's 300,000. So these are all included in your capital improvement program.
Okay.
And if you look at the capital improvement program specifically for SUNY Ulster, you'll see they're listed, and I think it was 4 or 5 separate projects
mm-hmm.
listed in for SUNY Ulster. So these are all part of those larger totals that you see in your capital improvement program.
So these aren't additional projects?
These
it just came in higher
projects.
Than anticipated?
Nope, mm-hmm. these are actually just establishing the projects that were in the capital. So when it
and
says...
It was increased last year.
Yeah.
Last
and an increase this year to $300,000.
We're not mm-hmm. increasing what's in the capital program, though. So these are in your capital program. You're amending the capital project fund, which is increasing the fund, which is what BERT uses to go out for bonding purposes. Mm-hmm. So that's
so
how
we're
the
moving it from the big, 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 big pot into this
yes.
pot.
As you use
so we're not increasing it, we're transferring it?
Well, it's, you got to think of it as a plan and in a capital budget. So what we're doing
right.
is we're taking the money in the plan, and now we're saying we're
you're
actually going to spend the money in the budget. So we establish and make sure the money's there so BERT goes out and can bond.
Okay. All right. So in essence, since we approved the capital plan, we approved it.
Yeah.
All right. I gotcha. Okay.
So now you're taking.
You probably have to tell me this again.
But, but it does, you know, thinking about it in terms of 5 years.
Yes.
I don't know if you have already, but if you haven't, maybe having a conversation with Amanda and thinking about the materials in these purchases.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
And moving away from plastic and.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Great suggestion, absolutely. Yeah, and in terms of the capital, so in terms of the 5 year, you'll see each year has projects allocated to it. So when I was doing the capital program, that's how we would always do it, do the 5 year plan. So you're always thinking about what's coming up for next year, what's coming up for the following years. And we're doing these in phases throughout the whole campus. That's a great recommendation. I'll absolutely work, Amanda.
Or the reuse center. We just got in 15 file cabinets from DEC, so there's nothing wrong with them.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I'd have to recuse myself, wouldn't I?
there's also a woman who has an adaptive design set up down in New York City who lives in my district
okay.
and who is interested in working in Ulster County.
Mm.
And I think this might be a
good
you know,
connection.
And if you're talking about some developmental or physical limitations, she works mainly with cardboard.
Okay.
And it's very quick, easy, and
wow.
sometimes very
really? That's
dramatic.
Really interesting.
What it can do.
Okay. Yeah, that's really awesome. Yeah, we're seeing a lot more of that push for the developmental kind of space and what that means. And, you know, we're starting to see more students coming back who might be veterans or who have other injuries. And what does it mean for them to get around campus?
Mm-hmm.
Right now we have somebody with a seeing eye dog. What does it mean for her to be able to access
yeah.
campus and to move around? And it is really changing how we're doing capital and changing how we should be thinking about spaces, which is good to challenge us.
And if it's cardboard at its end of life, we can compost it.
Exactly.
Exactly.
But you'd like it.
Compostable furniture, is that what we're calling it?
Yes.
okay.
You're going to call the question?
Call the vote?
Oh, and
yeah.
how about Monday?
Call the question? Is that what I'm supposed to do? Is call
oh, yeah.
question
6 o'clock.
call it. Okay. So, no further discussion. I'll call the question. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay.
And then we have the tour on Monday down at SUNY Ulster
yeah.
right before yeah the legislative committee meeting for the education committee. So if you're available, please come. We'll kind of show everyone out, show what we're looking to do. It's going to be a busy construction season down there, so
yeah.
we're excited.
Take pictures
for
me, guys.
For that.
We have a recycling oversight.
It's coming Monday.
Yeah,
but if there's another time, you know, if you want to come down,
tour.
I'm certainly,
yeah.
you know, my team's very excited to show people around. So we're,
okay,
we'll certainly reach
you.
Out and do something if we want it to work, we can make it happen. Well, thank you, everyone.
Thank you very much.
Take care.
Yeah.
Have a good
thank
one.
Thanks, Jamie.
Back to you. Resolution 197. amending the 2019-24 capital improvement program, establishing capital project number 543, Old Tongor Road Slope Stabilization, amending the 2019 Capital Fund budget. Motion?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Any questions?
No.
Discussion?
So
no? I'll call the question then. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? So moved. Resolution 199, establishing capital project number 544, ADA parking, Ulster County Fairgrounds, amending the 2019 capital fund budget.
I'll move it.
I'll
second
it. Second.
Any discussion?
Yes. Now, when will they start this? Because it's going to go through the capital projects thing now, right?
Yes, it is.
Okay. So, probably not this year?
Oh, yeah. We plan to start it
at some point after Memorial Day.
Oh, great. Oh, okay.
We're hoping to have it done for the fireworks at the 4th of July, but guaranteed we'll have it done for the fair.
Oh, that's fantastic. I know.
Inclusive of the ADA compliant parking. We have figured out how to do it soup to nuts.
Yeah.
In a way that won't interfere with the later work that we're doing.
Yeah, great.
Gary Newkirk is happy with the plan.
I'm sure he is.
Thank you for putting that extra work in and getting this moved ahead.
And I see the price isn't too bad either.
No, and we're going to get a lot more for that price than just the ADA.
Okay.
We're going to completely improve his entire handicap parking area. Understanding the differentiation, he needs about 125 spots that are handicapped.
Total. Right.
We're actually reducing that with these ADA spots because of the required striping to keep open space in between certain spaces. So
very good.
The whole thing will be, it won't all be paved. Just the only thing we're paving is the
30.
The rest of it will be a nice item.
Item four, that's fine.
And you said this will be ready for when the fair opens?
Yes.
When does the fair open? I don't remember.
It's the third week in August, roughly.
Oh.
Okay.
That's right. That's
so
right.
We plan to have this done in between
June
and
July. So the pool will be open, but the fair itself is just that period of
time. The fairgrounds has a whole schedule. They have events
throughout the summer. Fall.
Some of us are going to be meeting at the fairgrounds for the Solid Waste Planning Commission, and I'm hoping that somebody can show us this area just to see it firsthand.
You can park in it.
It's the parking lot. Right.
Unless they're doing it. Unless they're doing the work.
Yeah.
Do you know a date for the
next Wednesday? Yeah. 15th.
May 15th.
Oh, May 15th. Okay. No, it won't be done.
No. I want to see it before it's done.
Yeah, okay.
I want to see what we're fixing.
Okay.
Because, that came up and we were going to try and do a walkthrough and it didn't work out. So, and we'll actually be parking over by the office because that's where.
Yeah.
But that's also when the unveiling of the statue.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
And so a lot of people will be out there.
Yeah.
The poorhouse.
No further discussion. I will call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? So moved.
And did we do 196 and 197?
Or did I mix them up?
Did we pass over 196?
No,
we did that first. That was the very first, and then we started skipping. Yep. Right.
Oh, I see.
Right. Forgot.
Yeah.
That way back when.
That was number one. Yeah.
Thank you.
These are all shuffled on you now. I'm sorry.
Oh, don't worry about me. That's fine.
Resolution 201, authorizing land acquisitions for the DeWitt Lake Road Slope Stabilization Project in the town of Rosendale. Motion.
So moved.
I'll second.
Now, when they say land acquisition, are those temporary easements? Or
one permanent easement, one temporary easement.
One of each.
Alrighty. Any other questions? I will call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? So moved. Authorizing land acquisitions for the River Road Drainage Project in the town of Esopus.
I'll move.
Motion.
I'll second.
Any discussion? Where is this on River Road? Is it in between the main 9W and the water treatment plant?
It, as it comes down to the bottom of the hill and it turns left to go kind of parallel with the Hudson.
Okay.
It's where the Mabee property, Roger Mabee's property. If you know where that is.
I don't know. I thought it said the Mabees, and I thought for some reason they lived in a different area, but okay.
So it's before you head north and go past.
So it's after
the
water treatment plant. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
I had a question about this, but it wasn't a serious, and I didn't make a comment, so I can't remember what it is. I'll let you know if I have a question. It wasn't going to prevent me from voting in favor.
All right. So we'll call the vote then. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? So move. Yes.
Just a question on where we're acquiring land, you know, for public works purposes. None of that is eminent domain. This is where we're negotiating with the landowners and getting a fair price in their agreement and everything.
Mm-hmm, that's correct.
Mm-hmm. And in this case,
and
there's they didn't ask for
easement,
any.
They're not going to give up ownership.
Right.
And they didn't ask for compensation on this.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
It does make it cleaner. We're running into a lot of issues in Esopus with failing infrastructure and, you know, strange drainage that run through yards, and now it's all backing up. And there aren't easements, though, and yet the property owners want us to go in and fix it. Some of it's caused by property owners filling in drainage areas and swales, mm-hmm. So it's, you know, they're trying to decide what to do in the master plan, whether to, you know, make it very cut and dry. If you want the town to come in, then you're going to have to provide an easement, you know, or you'll be required to fix it at your own expense. So that's not going to go over real well, but there's just water everywhere and starting to do some real damage. So, and thank you. You've been doing quite a bit of work on Salem. That was great. The property owner on Union Center, he was very happy. I drove past that. It was just amazing. I mean, it looks like a whole different,
you know,
area now. It was beautiful.
Turned out
he's so happy.
Differently last fall, if we didn't. We had to deal with a drainage situation,
yeah, yeah.
When we were just inundated with massive storms,
right.
At that time. So when we went in and we dealt with it, we always knew we were going to come back in the spring, but he ended up being very unhappy.
Okay.
And fortunately, we were able to fix that all.
Yeah. We even planted forsythia for him. Which,
yes.
Are blooming, by the way.
Well, we wanted him
to be really,
yeah,
happy.
Because we felt,
yeah,
like we,
yeah,
had displeased him so badly.
Yeah.
We,
well,
were
he's
able
very
to,
happy now.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and he says your crew is very professional and mentioned Orlando specifically.
Yeah. And see, Orlando was involved in the fall and he didn't like him.
He didn't
so
like him.
It just,
well,
everything turned around.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So that was
which
a,
is great.
That,
yeah,
was a success.
Yeah.
For,
yeah,
for all of us.
And there is a lot of water on that road. I don't know where it's coming from, but it's everywhere. Yeah. That's why the guy has rice paddies. He actually has wild rice paddies on that road.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
You need the water. Okay. Right. Did we vote?
Yes.
Yes, we did. There's a new one. Resolution 206. Approving the execution of a contract in excess of $50,000 entered into the County Tectonic Engineering and Surveying Consultants PC. Motion?
I'll move it.
I'll second it.
Okay. Any discussion?
I just love this resolution. I think it's great to have these folks on call,
yeah,
and get this work done,
yeah,
and,
yeah,
they have a very good reputation. So,
mm-hmm. Right.
I guess this was bid, right? Looks like RFP.
Mm-hmm.
We're
piggybacking off of Orange County.
And that's
yeah.
Yeah. Very,
yeah,
good.
That's a great way to do it too. It saves us some,
yeah,
advertising money.
Mm-hmm. And probably some economies of scale that we
still have our own contract.
Mm-hmm. So. But do they treat it as though it's a combined contract in terms of purchase price or their bid?
I don't,
do you think?
So. Well, but that's what we're taking advantage of is
that they
the
already
price.
Bid it over there,
right?
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Right. If there's no further discussion, I'll call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? So moved. Resolution number 207, approving the execution of a contract in excess of $50,000 entered into by the county with Gorman Brothers Inc. Motion.
I'll move it.
Second. Thank you. Any discussion? Is there a, I didn't look at this one. There's a Schedule A, so it lists some of the potential projects on this.
This
we had approved one a little bit earlier.
No, this is the janitorial services, and it's just increasing the amount.
Where did it run? 207.
No, that's 208 is the janitorial.
No, this is road work.
Janitorial. This is the bio, whatever,
right.
there was quite a bit of discussion at one of our legislative sessions on this. So is there additional, or this is a different type of service?
This is a different application. It's a form of
preventive maintenance for roads. It's called a fiber mat process. So this is kind of a pilot for us. We literally have fiberglass fibers in a what would be a conventional chip seal process.
Right.
But it's combined with fiberglass fibers, and it provides for strength and flexibility.
Okay.
What happens with asphalt over time is it cracks. This is for Broome Turnpike. It has cracked. It's beyond crack seal. So we used this one other time, not this contract. We put it on New Paul's Road, and it really held up.
Yeah.
Really held up.
That goes through a paver, right? It's applied through a paver?
It's kind of a spray-on application. So there's
spray-on, okay.
There's like, I think, three steps to it. They put a emulsion down, they put stone down, but the emulsion has the fiber in it.
Yeah. I think they did it in that development. My youngest brother lives in that condominium development that's right directly behind Augustine Landscaping. I believe they did it in there. And
we're hoping to get as much as 7 years out of fiber mat application.
But you don't have to do nothing with it.
You're done.
Yes, that's long. That's good.
Yeah. What is it usually? Four, half that?
Three? Four.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
3 to 4 for a chip seal.
Yeah.
Crack seal doesn't last.
It don't last.
I mean, it helps. It gets you to chips expenditure,
right.
But we have high hopes for this. But it's a little bit of a pilot for us. We're going to have to see how it works in different areas and different road conditions. This is already an asphalt road.
And I just want to say to the committee too, another thing, in the 40 years that I've been on my job, and for whatever reasons, I mean, I don't look to blame the environmentalists and this and that. The product today that goes on roads, your oil, your asphalt, it's not what it was.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely not what it was when I went there 40 years ago.
The tires on my car are
definitely not the tires on my car
30 years ago
either. You
know, and
I can
see
it, the oil that you want to penetrate with, instead of coming out that nice jet black that I couldn't see you across the table with the steam, now it comes out brown.
Yeah.
Doesn't suck in. The roller's got to push it in. I just noticed that stuff, and I know it's not right, and that's why I feel a lot of it. It's not that it's not even anybody's fault. It's the way the stuff is made today. We do paving sometimes, and I can go back on a job 2 weeks later and get my foot and push it on down on the side of the road, and that blacktop moves.
Mm-hmm.
Where years ago, it would get like concrete. You
mm-hmm.
could not budge it, and mm-hmm. you can just see that the material today, the quality is just not there, in my opinion. It's just not there.
But I don't think that's from environmental considerations.
No, but
I think it might be profit motive on the part of the people who
produce
the material.
And that's part of it. Oh, absolutely.
But
right.
You could look
right.
into it. I did have a question about, I don't generally think of fiberglass as being a product to use in the environment. Are there any environmental concerns with mixing fiberglass particles in
Yeah, they're going to need respirators or...
Well, it's combined with a liquid, and they grind it as part of the process.
Yeah.
So I'm not aware of any environmental concerns.
Yeah. Might be worth just looking as it... I wasn't thinking so much putting it down.
Mm-hmm.
As it decomposes, do we get particles in the environment near these roads? It wouldn't mean, you know, that wouldn't be an absolute reason not to use it. But it might be that we would be careful in certain
wetlands.
Yeah,
I'm
going to
be honest with you, I'm not too familiar with this. I think we're supposed to do it in our town on one road this year, and I'm not even sure if we're still definitely going to do it or not.
So you'll let us know?
Yeah, if we're going to do it in Mount Marion Park.
Okay.
But
I'll check into that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Just
I'll look at that.
So we know what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
I also just wanted to ask about, a while ago there was a lot of interest in crumb rubber and making that would do exactly what you said this did in terms of allowing give without cracking, like flexibility, and also that in the areas in the countries that they're using it, it's which are very northern countries, it's supposed to allow ice and snow, but particularly ice, to break up more easily. Has there been any interest or use at all of crumb rubber? Only because
Not to my knowledge.
Recycling markets and everything to try to find positive uses. Something to maybe think about and look into whether there are specific applications. But I remember several conferences in this area a few years ago on it, and they said there were DOT specs and that it was especially preferred for hills with turns for that very reason, that the addition of chrome rubber to the asphalt mixture. So, you know.
If it actually has rubber in it?
It has, rubber. It's used tires.
Yeah.
It's shredded
up.
Used tires.
Yeah.
I was going to say, it might have trouble getting the material, but if it's used tires,
It's a use for
recycling.
Recycling tires.
Cool.
Just to, you know, think about it and maybe look into it, or maybe we can do an educational thing on it and see if it has some application.
All right, if there's no further discussion, I'll call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So moved, yes.
Note Nettie's sotto voce comment about they can't use it on playgrounds anymore.
Mm.
It may be that it leaches its toxins more easily, and therefore the concern I raised about the fiberglass may be even worse with the chrome rubber.
Yeah. That's why they stopped using it in landscaping, too.
It never did catch on for all the, you know, it was all over a few years ago, a lot of discussion about it and DOT specs, and that's a good thing to look into.
Okay, resolution 208, approving the execution of a contract amendment causing the aggregate amount to be in excess of $50,000 entered into by the county with Complete Building Solutions, Inc. Motion?
I'll second it.
Okay. What was that?
Whichever
one you want.
I'll
give it to Dean. This is the one I thought we were doing a minute ago.
So did you want to open up the discussion there?
It's a small amount that's being increased. Is it because there's more work to be done, or because some of the products cost more?
Primarily because the Restorative Justice Center came online
earlier
after our original, right after the 18 budget, right?
And
so
we have family
there is
too.
Yes. So we are doing more.
Good. Well, it's being done well with the right kinds of products, and it's in the right place, and it's getting a lot of use. So
yes,
I am very happy to vote in favor of this.
Any other discussion? All right. I'll call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So moved. Resolution 209, approving the execution of a contract amendment in excess of $50,000 entered into by the county with LW Tree Service, Inc. Motion?
I'll move it.
Second.
Do we have any discussion?
This is one I had a question, actually.
Oh, the ash trees.
Yes. Yeah. So the vendor either disposes of, I think is the language in the contract, of the tree. Do we think that the ability to get any useful product out of these trees factors into the quotes that we're getting on this? Is there any way to know that? Some of these ash trees are potentially valuable, and I just, you know, it's on our, it's bid, so, you know, getting a good price, I guess.
To bring the trees down, they are on the sides of roads, and people do go and scavenge quite a bit.
Before the company disposes of it?
The company doesn't dispose of them in the contract. To bring it.
I thought it said it.
Does it?
Yeah, it includes.
To do ash trees, you have to grind them up within a certain diameter.
Oh, yeah,
you can't,
right.
Yeah.
You can't reuse the wood.
Well, you can now.
Can you use it for mulch within a quarantined area?
The DEC removed the quarantines on transport of ash, I believe.
Did they?
Yeah, there's still some quarantine on all wood, but ash had specifics.
Right.
And
I'm thinking of stumps anyway.
Yeah, I think the there was a discussion in the environmental world of whether we should keep it, even though science was showing that it wasn't doing any good to have these quarantines. And eventually the DEC decided they'd go with the science and remove the quarantines. But I believe it does call for disposal. It's the language that caused me to have this question anyway.
So the question is, what are they doing with this?
Well, you know, it's under the recitals, the first whereas, the vendor agreed to provide for the removal of dead and dying ash and other species of hazardous trees and the disposal of said trees, stumps, and limbs. And it's really okay either way. It just seems to me that there are some big trees listed here. I mean, 45 inches in diameter,
yeah,
and you can get some value out of that. So I'm hoping that somehow that's factored into the bidding in such a way that we get the best benefit out of any usable wood.
I believe that is the case, but we'll check on that.
They've had funding in the past to do mapping of the ash trees. Do you know where you're going to be taking them down? Are you just going to look for dead ash trees? Are you taking down all of them?
We have
there was mapping
tree maintenance leaders that go out and mark them. Yeah, and then they go out and check to make sure that the trees that were marked were taken down.
I don't see anything about grinding in here. It just says removal. So.
Well, the stumps, there's a specific stumpage.
You've got to go to a tub grinder. You've got to go to somebody that's licensed by the state of New York with the stumps. We have somebody in Soria. He's on 212, Mike Roth, a guy I went to school with. He has a license that you can bring the stumps there legally, and he can grind them legally. And I think maybe even Johnny Mullins now, too, out that way has that.
Well, just for our education, if nothing else, we appreciate it.
Thank you. I'll call the vote then. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. I had something new, but he's like, you put everybody else up in front of me. Any new business? No? Old business? Motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
Aye.
All in favor, yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tom.
It's like 7:15. Thank you.
Thanks. Good night.
I had a question about traffic studies. Does that go through planning?
Mm-hmm. I believe so, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
We have another dollar.